Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And today my episode is going to be a little bit different, but I'm really excited for it because I truly believe you listeners are going to be able to take away some really great tips today. So it's different for a few reasons. So I actually have two guests with me today, and we're going to hear from, well, two people, two sides of the coin, so to say. So my one guest, I've got Fred Diamond. He is actually not a Lyme conqueror. He had a loved one dealing with Lyme, and it led his heart somewhere. He has been, you know, a huge resource within the Lyme community. He's a huge advocate. He's also a podcast. He's hosts the Love Hope Lyme podcast, as well as the author of the Love Hope Lyme book, which I think is just incredible because, again, he didn't battle the journey himself. And it just from somebody who didn't live through this, right? You don't get it till you get it kind of thing. It really warms my heart to know that he just wanted to give back to this community and share the things because he understands how truly just devastating this disease is all the way around for the one battling, for the one loving, and all the things. So I truly appreciate everything that he does. He has been a past guest on my podcast before. And then I've got Anne Desjardins, who is also the host of a podcast. Hers is The Silver Lyming. And she is a Lyme warrior and a Lyme conqueror. And I love the work that she does within the community too. It's just all about spreading awareness, educating people, and then most of all, giving hope and inspiration that if you're in this journey, there is hope. You can get well. There's so many people like Anne and myself who did get well. And so we are living proof that it is possible. So never give up hope. So one of the many blessings of Lyme disease, yes, you heard that right. There have been so many, many, many blessings that I took away from going through my own personal 13-year journey with Lyme disease. And just one of them is the community that you build and the friendships that you build. And I know Fred reached out to me. We connected virtually, oh gosh, I don't know, 5 years ago maybe. And Anne and I connected at least a couple of years ago. And I just truly value their friendship. I value their information. You know, anytime you get the opportunity to chat with somebody within this community, I feel like we always can take away something new, learn something new. I don't know it all, right? And I never will, but I love to continue to learn and gain more knowledge. And I value our friendships that we have. And it was so amazing because just recently I got to meet both of them in person at the iLads conference in San Antonio. And it was just so amazing to, I know they're real, right? But to be able to just touch them and hug them and just have some one-on-one moments with them, it just truly warmed my heart. And I'm so thankful for both of your guys' friendship and for what you do within this community. And thank you for joining me today. This is going to be such a fun episode. Again, a little bit different. But so, Fred, if you wouldn't mind, just kind of tell us a little bit about you, why you got into doing what you're doing, and then we'll kind of get things started.
Yeah, thanks, Tanya. It's great to be here with you and Anne. My name is Fred Diamond. I'm based in Northern Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C., and I'm the author of a book called Love, Hope, Lyme, What Family Members, Partners, and Friends Who Love a Chronic Lyme Survivor Need to Know, and we're all podcasters, a podcast of the same name, the Love, Hope, Lyme podcast. I had someone in my life, someone I was close to, who had Lyme disease, and I wanted to learn more about how this disease affects people that you love. So in the summer, spring and summer of 2021, I did a whole bunch of research, bought every book on Lyme disease on Amazon, jumped up on Facebook and typed in Lyme and searched Lyme Warrior and got to know organizations like LymeDisease.org and Global Lyme Alliance, Project Lyme. I had no idea, Tanya, that there was a community or a world of Lyme survivors. I thought, you had Lyme, you went to the doctor, and like we all tended to believe at one point, doctors are going to help you and you get cured and you moved on. And I was really stunned to see how challenging this disease is for people with it. So I did a bunch of research. I wrote an article for LymeDisease.org called How to Be Supportive When Your Partner Has Lyme. And hundreds of people started reaching out to me. And then again, in the winter of 2022, I wrote the book. And it's incredible that I have friends like you, that I have Lyme disease advocates as friends now. I have Lyme literate medical doctors. I have people all over the world who have reached out to me. When my book came out in July of 2022, the Lyme Disease Association of Australia was the first entity to review the book. And I've come to learn that Lyme is it's a quiet epidemic, as one of the most popular documentaries says. It's a global epidemic. It can happen anywhere. It's not just in New England or the mid-Atlantic. You're in the Pacific Northwest-ish area. There are people in Southern California. I've met people all over the country. I've traveled around the United States signing books, speaking at book signings, and meeting with local support groups. And I had no idea of the length and breadth of the book. So it's great to meet you and to talk with you about this.
I love it. Well, I appreciate again, what you do because you really didn't have to, right? When we're battling this journey ourselves, we don't have a choice. Like we're in it, right? So you need to be in it to win it, and it just shows the type of person that you are that, yeah, there's really a whole world out there that, like you said, Fred, I didn't even know was about because I thought Lyme disease only dogs got. Like it's so important to truly educate ourselves because we have to be our own advocates. So I'm excited to have you on, Fred, because we're going to hear kind of the flip side of it. Not necessarily the caregiver side, but the how to support the loved one side, right? Because oftentimes we don't know how we need to be supported. So really, how do you know? And so it's going to be great to hear some tips from you. So, and would you go ahead and introduce yourself? Obviously, I mentioned earlier that you're a Lyme conqueror, so we know why you're in this realm, but maybe not so, because many people that beat Lyme disease, they leave the communities because it was a huge part of our life that we don't ever want to look back on. But I know Anne, you and I are a lot alike because we truly have found so many blessings from this journey. And so I know that that's what led your heart to do what you're doing. So if you could just introduce yourself, share a little bit about you and why you're doing what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Tanya. I really appreciate being here with you and Fred. It's just really nice because I know that we have such similar hearts and are on very similar missions. I was probably feeling my first symptoms around 30 and really was unsure what was happening to me. And things just began to evolve from there. Over the course of the next 7 years, I really tried to figure out what was happening to me and I didn't get any clarity. I kept getting told from doctors that it was too much stress, that it was all in my head, that I was an overly emotional female, and that I just needed to figure out how to deal with my stress levels differently. And so I tried desperately to figure out different ways to deal with my stress levels. I changed everything about my physical being, from the laundry detergents I was using to the food that I was eating. I became a vegetarian for a while, thinking maybe I was having a trouble digesting meat. I didn't know what was wrong. I was standing on tinfoil by the end while I brushed my teeth to dissipate electromagnetic frequencies. Like I didn't know. I really didn't know what was going on, and I was desperate. And I finally went back to a doctor, because I was afraid I was going to kill someone else. I drove a lot for my job at the time, and I would get really dizzy when I turned my head, and I was scared that I was going to kill someone else. I had resigned myself to the fact that I was going to die. They were going to find me on the sidewalk one day, and that was going to be that. And then they would do some autopsy on me and figure out that there was something systemically wrong with my internal wiring, because I just, again, didn't understand. And when I went back to that doctor and I told her all my symptoms, she was like, "I'm pretty sure you've got Lyme disease." I was convinced I had a brain tumor because I had so many neurological problems happening. I lost my coordination. I couldn't put a screw through a hole when I was trying to put a grill together in my backyard the one day. And I was 38 at the time. And I was like, "This just isn't right. There's something seriously wrong with me." But she was, again, pretty sure that's what it was. "Let's just do this test." And thankfully, that test came back positive. And I remember hearing a speaker from Johns Hopkins talking about the longer you go with it, the better chance you have of getting an accurate test. Because the test that we have available to us, the standard two-tier test, is deplorable for a diagnostic tool. It's at best 50% accurate. And so, thankfully, again, I tested positive. And then from there, I just really focused on fixing myself, and I became an advocate for not just myself, but for others in terms of educating them. I became a public prevention specialist. I started a support group for my community, and I went back to school to learn a formal means of training to help people, because so many people were reaching out to me for help with fixing themselves that I felt compelled to have some type of formal training on board. And I have now my podcast, The Silver Lining, because I just really believe that hope gives others the courage to heal. And if you can hear words from other people that they've gotten better, it really helps to propel you towards that finish line as well. And when I was going through it, those are the types of stories that I hitched my star to. I didn't listen to the other people that were saying they were never going to get better. I put my blinders on and was like, "Nope, I'm going to heal. I'm going to get better. It's going to be okay. Just keep going, one step after the next." And that's really actually my motto at the time was "one foot after the next," because I could hardly manifest enough energy to walk. But I would just say, just one foot and then the next, one foot and then the next, and keep going. And it gets better over time. As you peel the layers back and really start to heal, we start to thankfully feel better. And that's really where I've come to today, is just wanting to educate others, inspire them, encourage them, cheer them on, let them know. I wanted to make a concentrated space of energy for people to come to tune into, that they could listen to story after story of people recovering so that they could have some of that energy for themselves.
Thank you so much, Anne. And I truly appreciate everything that you do in the community. And listeners, if you want to hear Anne's full story, she has been a prior guest on my show. So you can scroll back and find it and hear, her full journey of what it took to overcome the battles and the demons that she was fighting. And, I described my journey oftentimes. I didn't know how to describe it to the doctors what was going on, right? And so I was like, it feels like I have bone cancer. Like we oftentimes don't know how to describe what we're feeling. And so it took me a few years to figure that out. And I love that you say, you take one foot and put it in front of the other, right? There's this journey. There's nothing easy about it. There's nothing fast about it. I recall speaking to somebody years ago in the community, and she literally said she had zero energy, zero brain power, that she just laid in bed and told herself, breathe in, breathe out. She had to remind herself to breathe. So we're all very different, and we're all in a very different part of our journeys, right? Some of us are just learning about Lyme disease. Some of us are just getting a diagnosis. Some of us have been sick for decades and just figuring out it is not in our head and it is not, we're not crazy, right? And that's, I think, a huge validation to actually have that. I know that, like you mentioned, Anne, the testing out there is so inaccurate, right? You and I are both living proof of this for many years. And again, personal opinion, I believe that if you're going to your primary doctor, which I get, we're going to utilize insurance first. You're going to do the ELISA or the Western blot. they're just, you got a flip coin of whether you're going to get an accurate diagnosis or not. And what scares me about that is that oftentimes people will get negative and then they just run with it, when really that doesn't necessarily mean you don't have it. So you really could be missing out on figuring out the piece that's missing to your puzzle in order to actually heal. So I have a couple of labs that I personally recommend and trust. They are Igenix, Armin Labs in Augsburg, Germany, and Galaxy Diagnostics. There are many more labs out there that are fairly good, but again, just my personal opinions, and I like to throw out my thoughts, right? What things that I've learned along my journey and things that I've seen working within the Lyme community. So, and if you have been following me at all on Facebook, on my personal page, my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya page, or just a regular listener of my podcast, you know one of my favorite things to do is to give free advice, give free tools. I'm all about free. We have to allocate our resources when we're going through this journey, amongst allocating so many other things. And I get very sad and very angry when I chat with people that are so stuck, they're so lost, they don't know who to trust, they don't know which way to turn, and they have no money to boot. Right. And so they feel hopeless that there's nothing that they can do that get well. And that is why I'm excited about today's show, because we are going to share some things with you. You know, things from Anne as going through her personal journey on ways that you can support your body, whether it's free or something you can do anytime at home or a low cost, whatever it may be. Don't lose hope that you're stuck, that you can't get well, because you're not going to get well just by thinking you're going to get well. You really got to put in the work. So we're going to offer some tips on this show today on things that you can work on, whether you're treating and going through the journey or whether you're stuck and haven't started it. So I'm excited to hear both sides of the perspective, from Anne being the warrior, and then I'm excited to bring Fred on with us, because he's like almost like the outsider, right? He's the outsider looking in. What are you guys going through? You kind of look okay. Like, can you really be that sick? Can you really be that miserable? And so he is going to explain the things that he's learned within the community. You heard all the wonderful things that he does out there for this community. And then just also supporting and going through some, you know, a loved one that had this journey. And so it's going to be really fun to just hear both sides of everything. So I'm excited. So let's go ahead and just dive into all the extra tips that we're going to give today. So Anne, if you wouldn't mind just starting and just kind of roll off all the tips you brought today to share with us.
Yeah, sure. And again, this is a little bit challenging given how long I've been in this space and all the different things that I've tried. I feel like I'm a walking Rolodex for ideas on how to heal yourself outside the standard Western medical system. And I would like to start, I think, primarily with Ayurveda. As I was going through my own healing journey, I've learned a lot of different modalities to help support the body. And this one is something that has really been a passion of mine because I think it really encompasses body, mind, and soul. And Ayurveda, if you're not familiar with that term, it translates to the knowledge of life. It is the oldest holistic medicine system in the world, coming from India, and it is the sister science to yoga. And I'll get into that as my second point, but that's where I first learned about Ayurveda, was through my yoga practice that I have. And I think it really speaks to living in alignment with one's true constitution. And as being people, we are all comprised of different elements, is how Ayurveda classifies us: earth, air, fire, water, and space. We all have our unique blend. No two humans are the same. We are all bio-individualistically comprised, and understanding that composition really makes a difference because, for example, maybe you shouldn't eat fermented foods because it goes against your own body type, where there's that whole thought that, oh, fermented foods are good for everyone. That's not true. There's a lot of things that are specifically meant for different groupings. And I really felt compelled to learn more in terms of Ayurveda. It's a lot more holistic, which I believe much more so in Western medicine only got me so far and did actually a lot of damage to me in the beginning. Oddly, because I come out of a family of Western medicine doctors, there is a place for that. I think that really where we're at in our society, we're in a beautiful space where we can take the best from Western medicine and the best from holistic medicine and combine those to really catapult us ourselves forward into most optimal health. But Ayurveda relies a lot on herbs, nutritional intake, breath work, different spiritual practices, meditation, all the things that are good for us, making sure we're getting enough rest, and to me, it makes the most sense living in alignment with the seasons. So that is one of the biggest things that I've been given as a result of my experience is just learning a different way to be. And Ayurveda is a beautiful tool in teaching us some of those things that we can do to benefit ourselves most succinctly. Hot yoga is my
I
second.
love. Can I just stop you for a second? Sorry, I was going to let you go with it, but I love that. And I think the thing I love the most about it is you're talking about the mind, body, and soul connection. It really is, right? Like we are incredible human beings, but we are all connected. It's almost like we're a breaker box, right? Like we have a main switch, to power everything on and off. But then we have individual little things, but they're all combined into one. And I think that that can be a huge piece on our healing journey is to really address each individual things of it. And then the other thing that I love that you pointed out is that, yeah, fermented food, eat it. It's good for everyone, right? Just because something is good for you doesn't necessarily mean it's good for your body. Right, and that you want it. And there's so much misunderstanding in that because people will assume, because I know for sure that this is good, whether it's a good supplement or food or whatever it may be, that does not mean it's good for your body. And or do you even want it? And that is obviously separate from the Ayurveda, which you're doing, but that is one of the big reasons why I love muscle testing, is that I am able to muscle test myself at home, whether it's just a new vitamin C supplement I want to take, right? I got a different brand. Well, this brand is fabulous. I know that for real, right? But maybe there's something in it that my body doesn't want, or maybe my body doesn't want it at all now. And so I just love that you can have this tool, another modality, another thing that you can learn on your journey to be able to, guide yourself when you're wanting to add in new things into your diet or to your supplementation. Again, not an end all be all. There is not anything like that during this journey, right? But just another incredible tool to use. So, okay, yes. Moving right along.
Well, and actually, I guess to expand a little bit further, but Ayurveda is more preventative medicine rather than reactionary medicine. And if I think that I had known what I know now long before I got sick, I really probably could have avoided a lot of what I went through because I would have been acknowledging my body and listening to my body. And body is incredibly smart and it knows what it needs. And that's why things like muscle testing are so beneficial because it's really getting you to the point where you're asking your own body what it needs and hearing the response to it. And I just think that there's a lot of work to be done in today's society to get us to more of a place of believing in ourselves and trusting our body and knowing the power that we actually do possess within ourselves, but figuring out how to find a way to hear that through the body. Point number two, I really felt compelled to do a practice called hot yoga. I never even heard of it before my journey with Lyme. And that is something that has really been life-changing to me. I know Fred practices it. It's a great way to sweat out toxins, to purify the body. My instructor had told me actually that our sweat is an antibiotic for ourselves. It's like our body's self-antibiotic. And it's really healing for us to be able to do that. Also, thinking about things through the Lyme lens, I know that Lyme hates heat. So, this is one way to combat it. When it's really rooted deeply in our tissues and our organs, there's not exactly a lot of easy ways to access that. But when we're in that hot space, It's basically like forcing these toxins again out of our system, out of those deep tissue spaces. There is hypothermia as a treatment for Lyme and allowing the antibiotics to penetrate a lot more readily into the system. And I think over an extended period of time, that's what I was doing with my hot yoga practice, was that hypothermia. I saved myself the true discomfort because hot yoga can be pretty uncomfortable sometimes, but I didn't have to be sedated to do it, although sometimes I kind of wish that I had been, because it, again, it's not easy, it's hard, but it is well worth it. And it is something that is incredibly beneficial to not just the physical body, but again, to the spiritual and emotional being of oneself. It's a moving meditation. It really allows you to connect with yourself, to hear yourself, to give yourself enough space and grace and time with oneself. And I know Fred would agree, it's like no one's really paying much attention to you in that room. You're just focused solely on yourself and surviving through that practice. And every day it's going to be something different. Although it's the same 26 postures every day, body is never the same twice. And we think about a river, it looks maybe the same on the surface, but underneath it's constantly changing. And that's the same with the hot yoga practice. It's in the body. It looks maybe potentially the same on the outside, but inside it's always something different. And so you're going to always feel something new and different with that practice.
I gotta say, hot yoga I can't do. I know we're tough. Those that go through this Lyme journey, right? Like we're the toughest of the tough. I have a hard time taking a cold shower to help with my nervous system. You guys are rock stars, right? Both you and Fred. Are you kidding me? Like you love hot yoga. You do hot yoga, and nobody has to pay you to do it, right? Like whoa, who are you people? So kudos to you, because all of everything that you just said about it is truly amazing, and I know firsthand how amazing it is to heat up the inside of your body. I believe that it helps to kill these pathogens off, and like you said, Anne, it's like an antibiotic, so it's kind of a triple win-win in my eyes. But again, I'll stay outside and I'll cheer you both on from afar.
You'd be surprised. You should give it a whirl. But my third tip is going to be in alignment with these practices. And I find a lot of value in meditation and breath work. And meditation is something that I really grasp onto. A friend introduced me to Dr. Joe Dispenza and a lot of his teachings and works, and really more about the epigenetics of people. And I've heard the saying, it's like the Is it bullets load the gun, but it's the actual lifestyle that pulls the trigger. And it's more of what we expose ourselves to, the different traumas that we are experiencing, the different lifestyle practices that we have that ultimately lead us into the path that we're going to with our health. If we're chronically stressed, if we're eating the wrong foods, if we're not moving the body, if we're not having sunlight and laughter and fresh air and water, that's just laying the groundwork for dis-ease to come through the system. And through meditation, you really did a lot of visualization, a lot of practicing what it feels like to be healthy, reminding myself what that felt like to feel good in my own body. And we can accomplish so much. We have so much power within, again, our mind and our body to change things. They think they said statistically, when you picture working out, you gain 25% of the benefits of working out just from picturing it. And so think about what we can actually do for ourselves when we're picturing healing in our system. And breath work is, prana is breath work. It's the energy of life, and we're pulling that through us. And I used to say to myself, as I breathe in with the good, the new, the life, the beautiful side of things, and out with the old, the negative, the toxins, the poisons that I no longer needed. And this was something that I would actively picture as I was breathing through my system. And we are given so many breaths in this lifetime, and many of us are not even truly breathing. If we're not actually taking that breath, we're just wasting those breaths that we've been given. If we're taking our time, we're very intentional, very conscious in those breaths that we're pulling into our system, we're extending our life. We're giving ourselves more time here on earth by being slower and, again, more intentional with those breaths that we've been allotted in this physical lifetime. The fourth thing I want to touch on is our lymphatic system and the importance of moving our lymphatic system. For those of you that are unaware, this is basically the sewer system of our body, and it does not have a pump like the heart. It follows pretty much the same pathway as our circulatory blood system, but it does not have its own pump. And so we are responsible for helping to pump those toxins in through our system. So things like breathing, that's slowly stimulating and moving different tissues and organs and muscles in our body. We can do things like dry brushing. There is a proper way to dry brush if you're interested in trying this. This is, again, a pretty low cost, if not free thing that you can do for yourself. It's almost like mine is on a long stick with a brush head. You'd think maybe like a back scrubber for the shower kind of a thing. You want to do it first thing in the morning because it's very stimulating to your system. You want to do it when you have no clothing on because it's, again, ideally against your skin. I look at it as another way that we can take the time to do a tick check on ourselves daily as well while we're at it. It's a great practice, especially for older people who are sometimes losing touch with parts of their body, to feel how their skin is, to gauge different areas of their body to make sure that they're not having things like sepsis or whatever else setting into the body that they might not otherwise notice. But you would want to start at your extremities, start at your feet, pull up. I think of it as seven. Seven is heaven. Seven strokes on each part of the body. Work your way from your foot to your calves, to your shins, to your knee, to your quads, your thighs. And then we have our lymphatic system, our lymph nodes in our groin area, in our armpits in particular. And so we start again at the hand and we stroke, 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 stroke. We're pulling it up through our system. Make sure you spend enough time in here in your lymph nodes, and our lymph drains here next to our heart. And that's ideally where we're pulling things towards. We want to just picture moving things into this space of our body to help it to exit our system. And rebounding is another great lymph mover. Again, that's something you'd want to do in the mornings. As we sleep overnight, our channels close in our body. And so we need to reopen them in the morning to allow things to flow through our system unobstructed. And the lymph rebounding opens these channels. It makes these things open again to allow that lymph system to drain more easily. Rebounding, if you're not familiar with that, it's basically you use a miniature trampoline. You can purchase one on Amazon, I believe, for maybe $100. So maybe a little bit of an upfront investment, but in comparison to some of the other treatments that people do for this illness, it's a cheap one. And just do a gentle health bounce is what we call it. You don't even have to lift your feet off of the trampoline surface. Just gently bounce and do your best to maybe last for even 5 minutes if you can. Work your way up to it. If you start for 15 seconds, even 20 seconds, because I know it can be very hard. That's a great way to, again, help your system to detox itself. And then the last thing I want to touch on is mold. Okay. And so I know from my own podcast now, I've got 70 some coming up on 80 episodes released. I'm going to say at least 70% of my guests have had problems and complications with mold toxicity in conjunction with the Lyme. And so you really need to do yourself the service of figuring out if you're in a moldy environment. Because I look back on my own journey, I'm like, was it the mold or was it the Lyme? I will never be sure which one actually was driving the bus in terms of why I felt so ratty. And maybe it was just both in conjunction, truly. But I know my old house was highly moldy, unfortunately, but I didn't understand the impact that mold has on the immune system at that time. I didn't realize. And now I understand truly what mold can do to people and the symptoms that that can cause. And so if you're in a moldy space, there's a lot of different things that you can do to support yourself through that, because I know that can be costly to move, to remediate, to do what you need to do. But it's almost like if you're in a dirty fish tank, how are you going to have a healthy fish, right? Like, it's the same thing with a person. If you're in that moldy house, how are you going to really heal? Because you're just constantly breathing in that toxic air and those mycotoxins and the things that are making your immune system basically non-functioning. So it's really important for you to understand that part of things as well. And It's amazing to me the number of people on a Lyme journey that don't understand to look for mold as well. So I just really wanted to call that out and make sure people are having that as top of mind to look for.
Gosh, thank you, Anne. No, and I completely agree with you when it comes to mold. It is the and fortunately, I didn't deal with mold, right? But not many of us can say that when we go through this journey. And it is so many times the missing piece to their puzzle. They've done everything, and whether it's you've been exposed to the mold in your own home, your workplace, whatever it may be, right? So again, like you say, we have to, what environment are we living in? So if we are dealing with mold, then unfortunately, you need to get your home tested, right? Because you cannot get well in a toxic environment. The mold is bringing toxicity, if that is where it came from, during your journey. But that is a huge thing. And I have been doing some research on some labs that I feel are really outstanding in the mold community. So if anybody needs information or help or referrals on that, please be sure to reach out. Because again, I think that you can get a lot of misinformation out there. Like, there's not every lab out there is great for a Lyme test, right? So just the more information we can learn, the more that we can share it with you guys. And the rebounding, I love that. And like you mentioned, so yes, a little rebounder, might cost you $100, or you can get a $100 vibe plate on Amazon as well, right? Anything to move your body to get your lymphatic systems going. But think of it this way, is that once you get on the other side of this journey, and you will, if you have that mindset and you put in the work, right? You are going to conquer this just like Anne has. And when you do, yes, we totally get our lives back, but we learn so much about our bodies, our environment, our food when we go through this journey. Again, just another one of the many blessings of Lyme. I know you don't always believe it during the journey, but it really is true. And so we come in touch with our body. We learn the things that, well, gosh, I thought that was good. No. I learned the total opposite. And so these modalities that you're going to gain during your journey, it's not going to be just while you have Lyme disease. Our environment is toxic. We've got all the 5G. We got all the whatever's going on in the air, right? There's so much toxicity out there. Anybody, whether you're healthy, not healthy, we've got to work on detoxing these toxins out of our body. We constantly have to be working on making sure our lymphatic system is flowing, making sure that we're sweating, making sure that we're pooping, all the things, all the pathways are open. It is just a natural human thing, right? But we don't know what we don't know. And oftentimes we don't know this until we go through a journey like this. So I always say these things, you're investing in your health, right? Because this rebounder, the Vibe Plate, whatever, I love my BioMat, my Ionic foot bath. Like, there's so many things I love I can use forever, right? Do I need to? Do I feel amazing? No, but it's there. I invested in it. So when I think about it, I'm like, oh, hey, gosh, today I'm going to do that, right? Because it's always a great idea to continue to work on our health. So, and I love that you have learned so many things along this journey, and I know it's a blessing for you as well. And so I appreciate you sharing all those incredible tips. And, I don't know that I can highlight any one of them because I think that they were all fabulous. But if I highlight something, it's the mold. Know what you're dealing with. Know what you're working with. You can't heal from something if you don't know what you're healing from. So missing that mold piece could be a game changer in your journey. So thank you. So Fred, I'm excited to chat. I know you've been, a guest on my show in the past, and again, just the whole flip side of the coin of conversations that most people have on my episode is about their own personal journey, right? Or whether it's a practitioner sharing the latest greatest. And the journey is, like Anne mentioned earlier, it's the whole mind body spirit connection, right? It's very emotional. We oftentimes have traumas that are blocked that we didn't even know we had. And no, that does not mean that you had a bad childhood. Not at all. And oftentimes people misunderstand that comment when I make that you may have blocked traumas that you need to deal with because that doesn't mean that something horrible happened in your life. Your mother could have had a difficult time delivering you. It put traumas in your body. It could be a number of things. And that is why I know, Fred, I had referred you to the book, The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson years ago. And you've been so kind to share back that it was really a great book for you. So there's many levels on this. But I love to hear from, like I said, kind of the outsider of somebody going through this journey, what you see and what did you think maybe you were doing all right? And like we going through this journey, learn the hard way, right? What have you learned that, gosh, I thought I was doing great, right? But now I'm learning what this really is and what you're really going through as a fighter of Lyme. And how did that kind of transpose your mind process and your thought process? And by the way, we mentioned you're the author of the Love, Hope, Lyme book, right? I truly tell everybody this. This is a coffee table book, you guys, especially for those that are battling this journey and their family and friends can't get on board or they don't believe them. You can't convince them to learn anything. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So, in those cases, what I recommend is, like Fred mentioned, I love that you're so generous with your PDF form, right? Free to the fighters. But buy the book. Put it on your coffee table. You never know that next time that your friend or your family is in there helping you and maybe they pick it up, right? Stick it in front of them. Let it lead the way where it goes, because it truly is a fabulous tool to help being on the loved one side of it. So anyways, just wanted to point that out because it really is a great tool and I'm so grateful that you took the time to write that. So what did you learn? What are the things that you thought maybe you were doing fantastic, right? Because we always want to do the best that we can for our loved ones, but I'm sure you learned a lot of different things along the way. So I'll just let you share some of them.
Wow, I really believe that I was fantastic, but what I learned is I knew maybe 5% of what there was to learn, and I had someone close to me with Lyme disease, and my catchphrase was keep this person out of stress, and find out where the best gluten-free pizza was, because as we all know, a lot of people with Lyme have gluten allergies and. Stress, as you've talked about, with the nervous system regulation, is one of the first and foremost things that you need to do. And if you don't regulate it, then you're never going to recover. And I did a lot of research in the summer of 2021 to understand what Lyme survivors go through. And there were a couple of things that I learned. I was shocked to find out how many people had family members, partners, and friends who didn't believe them. And I think Anne mentioned it's an invisible disease. And in one of our previous conversations, there may be up to 100 different symptoms that you may have. And if you meet somebody who says they have Lyme disease and you go in to search Lyme disease, it's not uncommon to find sites that say chronic Lyme does not exist. And the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in the United States, has not been very great about acknowledging the fact that chronic Lyme disease exists. They even called it post-treatment Lyme disease syndrome, which doesn't make sense to anybody. And there's been a lot of great work recently by the National Associations for Science that have come up with some statements acknowledging the fact that a lot of these infections do lead to chronic illnesses, which has been great. There's something published back in May that I actually covered on my podcast with Colonel Nicole Malachowski, a true American hero, who was proving this to further get evidence out there. But I was shocked because I was very, very devoted to a particular person who had Lyme, and I just figured everybody was until I searched Lyme to understand more about it and found people talking. Even today, we're doing today's interview right around Thanksgiving of 2025 for people listening in the future. And this weekend, I saw three people posting on various social media groups. My husband doesn't believe that I have this, or I'm nervous going to Thanksgiving dinner because I know that my sister-in-law doesn't believe that chronic illness or chronic Lyme exists. And here we are. And I wrote my book 3 years ago, and it's still being discussed. I wrote the book because I was shocked to find that Lyme survivors are in this state. As a matter of fact, when I wrote my book, Tanya, I expected that my audience was going to be people like me, spouses, family members, friends who wanted to learn more, who had someone that they cared about and they knew something was going on and they just wanted to dig in. And what I've come to learn is that 95% of my audience are people with chronic Lyme disease, right? And the other 4% maybe are parents, mothers of teenage children, God love them all, with chronic Lyme disease. And maybe 1 to 2% are family members, partners, and friends. I do have people who have reached out to me who said they have a sister-in-law or a niece. Actually, these are all people that I know who, when they found out that I was advocating for Lyme disease treatment and support, a couple of people reached out to me and said, actually, one person was a client who said that he had a niece who had Lyme disease and he bought copies of the book for everyone in the family. And he said they all became much more empathetic to what this person that they love was going through. As I mentioned, it's a mysterious disease. It's one of those diseases that when I meet somebody, and I always, like you probably do, the conversation often, excuse me, turns to Lyme at some level. And I run a global association for sales leaders, and we want to differentiate ourselves. We want to show that we care, that we're passionate about something beyond the product or service. So almost invariably, I bring up Lyme. As you both know, I post on LinkedIn on various aspects of Lyme disease. And I ask people, they're like, oh, yeah, Lyme. I'm like, are you familiar with it? Yeah. I say, are you very familiar with it? Or somewhat. Well, it's the disease. It's a tick-borne disease, right? Yes, very good. It is a tick-borne disease. And I think it causes fatigue. Absolutely. It definitely causes fatigue. And it causes up to possibly as many as 100 other symptoms, but it's always the Lyme, right? It's always the tick bite that leads to where you are. And the fact that it took you 6 years and it took you 7 years for someone, a doctor or whomever, to say, it's Lyme. Right. And Anne mentioned that was one of her best days ever because I finally know what it is. And for a lot of people, it gets harder because there's no pill you can take. Now you need to go through this journey of what do I do? Do I do antibiotics? Do I do herbal treatments? As Anne mentioned, there's other types of things to do. I've met people who've gone to Peru to take exotic treatments to cover from it. So I just want people to know it's real. It's a real disease. If you're listening to this and you have a family member, partner, friend with chronic Lyme disease, it's real. It's caused by a tick. There are what we call co-infections, other tick-borne diseases that the tick will transmit as well as Lyme. There are other tick-borne diseases on their own. Alpha-gal, we talked about before. That is transmitted by a Lone Star tick. It's technically not Lyme. It's its own disease that causes shock when you eat red meat and other items with it. So it's a quiet epidemic. It's a global epidemic. I've met people, Tanya, around the globe, who have been exposed to this. And it's there's a lot of great work that's happening. We all know great people. We've seen them at iLADS and other places. But it still is a very, very challenging. And I want people to be empathetic to those who they love. And for the people who are listening with chronic Lyme disease, seek support, right? Don't be afraid. You're bitten by a tick. One of the last lines I have in my book is, and this person is where they are just because they were bitten by a tick.
Right. Isn't
They didn't
that?
smoke four pack. They didn't smoke four packs of cigarettes a day. They didn't live underneath a power line or a power grid. They were up kayaking on the Delaware River or walking through Central Park, whatever it might be. So I want people not to be ashamed. I want people to be, be brave and seek proper treatment. And you can move forward with this.
Yeah, no, it really is mind-blowing if you think this little tiny tick can completely uproot your life, right? And many times take your life. It is mind-blowing. But then going back to what you just said, Fred, here you are thinking, hey, okay, I can give you gluten-free pizza. Here's a yummy treat, and I'm gonna not give you any stress. What can I do to make you happy? Just like you got Lyme disease, take 2 weeks of doxycycline. Got to be good, got to be easy peasy. And it's just nothing further than the truth, right? But again, we don't know what we don't know. And so we can't fault ourselves. We can't fault our loved ones because we're all learning along this journey to ourselves, you know? And that's what's so hard about it is that there is not a Lyme 101 guidebook on how to guide through this. And that's why it's so important to have people like you, Anne, and you, Fred, in the community to continue to share the information and to educate people, and especially to acknowledge that this is a real disease. This is a real thing. Anne mentioned, I think, before, maybe off the show or on the show, I can't remember. But yeah, it was a lot in our head, right? It is. It's that infection that is in our head that gets to us. And you had mentioned earlier, Fred, that the CDC is a lot of changes has happened over, the last little bit that we're grateful for, but they are not, let me repeat that. They are not acknowledging chronic Lyme disease. Right, Fred? What did you say they're acknowledging?
Yeah, well, they call it post-treatment Lyme disease syndrome, but there's been some work recently recognizing the various infections that happened. It's interesting what you just said. For someone who doesn't have a chronic illness, take two pills and call me in the morning type of a thing. Or I remember the person that I was with. I said, you go figure it out. Go figure out your Lyme treatment. And I know it's expensive, and I'll work harder so that we have money to pay for this. But then you understand the complications, and there's when did you get bit? Where did you get bit? What other co-infections were transmitted? Your body, your heavy metals in your body, right? Maybe you got fillers years ago, whatever it might be on your teeth, genetics. Play a role in this. Yeah, there's some people who might have been bitten by ticks 100 times. Logger, people who work in lumber yards or loggers, whatever, who may not have got it affected at all. And then someone, because of your body composition, and how quickly you got treated.
Yeah.
I tell people this all the time. We all know the best way to not get Lyme disease is to be preventive. When you go out, unfortunately, ticks are everywhere now, right? I remember I once did one of my Love Hope Lyme podcasts. And everybody I interviewed, I expected they got it in Martha's Vineyard, or Nantucket, or the Ozarks, or a forest in Pennsylvania, where Anne is. And I remember I interviewed somebody who said she believed she got bitten by a tick in Central Park in Manhattan, New York, walking in Central Park, because ticks, they get attached to birds and birds fly, or they get attached to deer and deer migrate. And because of global climate change, et cetera, seasons are a little bit longer, the warmer seasons, and you can get bitten by a tick almost anywhere. As we know, there have been cases of native Lyme disease in all 50 states. I had no idea how horrible it was in Eastern Canada, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, Ontario, Quebec. I've met so many people. I was shocked to find out how overwhelming Lyme disease is up there. Almost every state, Anne is in Pennsylvania. Almost every state has a Facebook group or a social media group where someone has chosen upon themselves, because you ain't getting paid for this. Someone has chosen to track all of the doctors. I see this all the time on the various Facebook groups. Is there a doctor in Portland, Oregon?
Yeah.
And then someone else posts, is there a doctor in Orlando, Florida? And then luckily, someone will chime in, reach out to me, because there's no one in, or, and I'm making this up, there's no one in Orlando, but there's a really good doctor in Jacksonville, right? So I don't want to be specific. There might be a great doctor in Orlando, just using that as an example. So one of my last bits of advice here, Tani, before we move on, is, it's a disease where you have to get to know resources. And one thing I'm very pleased with is that I got to become a resource. Again, I've never been bitten by a tick, as far as I know. I've definitely don't have Lyme, but I can direct people in a second. First of all, I've referred people to you, people in Pennsylvania who are looking for Lyme resources. And you just need to know how to be helpful, Both of your podcasts, I believe, are providing amazing, not just hope, but real information on things that you could do. It's such a stressful, one thing I've learned, Tanya, is it's such a stressful disease. We talk about anxiety, and the anxiety happened because it's taking you so long to get cured, or are you anxious and it's taking you so long to get cured? You know, it's a conundrum, if you will, but just want to acknowledge you and for the work that you both are doing. And for the people listening, reach out, figure it out, man. You know, there's a lot of resources. There's a lot of people who want to help you. There's great organizations that are really doing great work, like Project Lyme, and Ann mentioned, you know, the Pennsylvania Lyme Disease Network and LymeDisease.org. I call them the CNN of the Lyme world. Articles being posted every day. There's great information out there, and seek it.
Thank you, Fred. That was great. And yes, I'll go back to that because ticks don't discriminate, right? Like they don't. They don't care if you're black, white, red, green, Democrat,
Justin
Republican. Like they
Timberlake.
just don't care. Yeah, exactly, right? There you go. And as much as we know we hate to see other people come up with Lyme disease, I'm truly appreciative of these people that are in the spotlight, right? That are coming forward and talking about their Lyme journey, because it's all about, spreading that awareness and how important it is. And like you said, Fred, it doesn't matter. I know Anne's in her yard, right? I get bit by a tick in my front yard in Northern California, right? Of course, Lyme doesn't exist in California. They don't cross state boundaries. They don't, you know what I mean? And there are so many people out there that I believe, and both of my practitioners that I worked with believe as well, are infected with Lyme disease, right? Or the pathogens or the co-infections. But because their body is strong enough, their immunity, their foundation is built strong, that they have no symptoms. So, just an example, I was chatting with a lady the other day whose 92-year-old husband, don't know the detail, or uncle, sorry, not husband, 92-year-old uncle just got diagnosed with Lyme disease. And she was just kind of floored. My 92-year-old uncle ain't out hiking. He's not outside in the woods. How did he get bit by a tick? Well, coincidentally, his wife just passed away. So what does that do? That is adding trauma onto your body. That is emotional stress. So we could be walking around with these pathogens in our body for decades. You don't ever have to recall a tick bite. If you are out there, you are listening to this, you know somebody who has random symptoms, they're not getting answers, please, 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 please be sure you seek out proper testing, because more times than not, it ends up being somewhere under this Lyme umbrella, right? With something like that. And like you heard from Fred himself, it is real. That this is a real disease. It's not something that we're making up in our head. And it's like you also said, Fred, I love that we all three of us are here, right? Like our heart is in the right place. We're on the same mission out there to educate and offer hope and inspiration and any resources that we can. And we don't do it for ourselves, do we, guys? We do it for you guys. We want to offer resources to you. So I know that we are all readily available to help answer questions. And Desjardins, again, you've got the Silver Lyming, Lyming podcast that is out there and available for you guys. Fred, you've got the podcast Love Hope Lyme. You also have the book Love Hope Lyme, which is a great resource. And again, I mentioned it should be a coffee table piece of furniture, because if it's there, people might dive into it, right? If it's out of sight, out of mind. And so lead the horse to water. You can't make him drink. Have the tools available for people to utilize that are there. Oftentimes we have to do it at our own pace, but just know wherever you are in your journey, there is so much hope. There are so many resources out there. Know that you can get well. Don't give up the fight. Continue to do what you're doing. And again, Anne, Fred, I'm so thankful for you guys. I treasure our friendship and our collaboration in doing this episode, because just a little bit different, but I think we brought so much out there for the listeners to take on and and run with, and hopefully be a big part of their healing journey. So thank you both so much. I appreciate you taking the time to do this, and I appreciate everything you do in the community.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.